Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Welcome to the Blitz Podcast and our first episode of the new year, 2023. I'm joined by my co-host, Harley Schultz. Harley, how are you doing, sir?
Man, it's snowing heavy here in Minnesota, and my body is sore from a long weekend. It's been a crazy, crazy last couple of days, and I think that it's only going to be an even crazier next couple of days as this week 18 progresses on.
Yeah. So one thing I think we should point out is we normally record on Monday nights during the game. The game's at least started when we start recording, right? And there was an issue with the NFL releasing the schedule timely for week 18, which caused DFS prices not to be released timely. So we made the executive decision. We got blessings from those higher-ups at the huddle to record on Tuesday. So we are recording on Tuesday now instead of our normal Monday time when we're recording when the games are going on. So that means that we were not on air recording when the incident happened with DeMar Hamlin last night. And I know you and I were texting back and forth, and you're like, hey, we would have been on, you know, we would have been recording. And I'm like, I'm glad we weren't. And you said you're glad also. And I've never seen anything like that before. It's just felt numb. I mean, got to pray and hope that this guy winds up okay. I know he's still in critical condition, but... that was just a surreal situation.
Well, I have to admit to when the incident actually occurred at live, I was in the process of typing up the salaries for the DFS sites, DraftKings and FanDuel, because I had just received an email notification saying that the DraftKings prices were up. So I had just begun doing that. So I was actually looking down at my keypad when the initial hit occurred. And I just kind of looked up, and I saw all the people crowded around the field, and then I saw the replay, and I was like, I was really kind of surprised. It didn't look like it looked like a fairly innocuous hit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, obviously, as everyone in the fantasy community knows by now, Hamlin got up, took a couple steps, staggered, and fell back down. I don't pretend to be a medical expert. I don't even play one on TV. But, I mean, the general consensus now is that it was basically a heart attack. It happened because of the impact from the hit.
Yep.
We don't know if Damar has a history of heart issues or arrhythmias or anything like that. I'm not sure if the Bills are aware of anything like that, nor the NFL. And so... again, without being an actual doctor, other than to say that it was an amazing scene, is really all we can do. Now, for me personally, I work locally here in the Twin Cities area with a high school during their football season. And I remember a couple of seasons ago, there was an injury during the game where the individual needed to be removed from the field via ambulance. It was the first time I'd ever seen an ambulance live on the field, other than in, say, watching old school versions of Madden or NFL hits where they'd have the cartoony ambulance come onto the field to pick someone up.
Right.
But I'd never actually seen that in person prior to that high school game a couple years ago. And obviously, I mean, that game was paused for a while. They took the individual away, brought him to a local medical center. And the game, after a fairly lengthy delay, they restarted it and the game was finished. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of talk in both the media and with the NFL and between the teams as we go forward in the next couple of days as to what processes were in place, what processes occurred, what processes should have occurred, what processes shouldn't have occurred. But ultimately, all of that is conjecture and talk.
Yeah. And secondary to the health of Damar Hamlin, who I'm sure is in the thoughts and prayers of anybody that knows what's going on, quite honestly, as it should be.
Yeah, I think the absolute amazing thing is the way that the both the NFL community, the celebrity community, the just the general populist community came together and they put all this money together. The big story going around is that Damar had a GoFundMe that he had set up a couple of years ago to raise money for
Toys for Tots type thing.
Basically a Toys for Tots like thing, much like our Scott Fishbowl does a lot of their raising for. And his goal at the time was to raise $2,500.
Yep.
As of late this morning, the number was well over $4.1 million.
I actually just checked it. It's over $5.3 million now. When I saw it last night, it was under $3,000.
Again, this is not just money coming from other NFL players. This is coming from celebrities. It's coming from people with no ties to the football world at all. Again,
yeah,
this whole situation, it really does kind of transcend football in general. But again, it's amazing to see the outpouring of support for him. As a Chiefs fan, obviously, there's reason for me to not like the current outcome of the game not being played and decided. But I also know that there isn't anything I would have done differently. And I think that I can speak for not every, but most Chiefs fans that they all kind of agree the same thing.
Yeah. There's just some things that are more important than a game, and that's going to sit wrong with some people. Maybe they keep that to themselves, and that's good, and hopefully they don't say stuff out loud like some other media personalities, I'll say, have. I'm not going to give their names any weight and mention them, but, you know, that $5.3 million, there are some big donations. I saw $20,000, $10,000 ones, $5,000 ones. There's like 184,000 total people have donated, which puts it at just under an average of $30 per donation. So there's also, on top of those big celebrities and sports figures that are donating big numbers, there's a lot of regular Joes and you know, that are just throwing $5, $10, $20 at it because they want to do something to help the situation, I guess. And that's commendable. But at this point, We're going to cut out the news bit that we normally do. We're not going to do any laughs or anything like that. We were going to do a segment this week on our New Year's resolutions or gifts for each team in the NFL, all 32 teams. I think that, and this is unscripted, I think Harley would agree with me that all 32 teams would just like to see Damar Hamlin healthy at this point. And that's the gift that we're going to give everybody. But we're just going to go and we'll roll right into our DFS picks, get them done for you and out of the way, and wish everybody a fantastic week 18 and playoffs going forward. And just hope that young man winds up coming out of critical condition and being okay and being able to live his life.
Okay, and as we roll into the DFS segment for today, I do need to point out to our listeners that FanDuel published their slate of players before the naming that the Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers game would be played in the evening on Sunday. So that game is included in their millionaire slate on FanDuel. And that game is not included on the DraftKings slate. Obviously, like I said, we waited to record yesterday because of the delay in prices coming out for DraftKings based on the NFL's delayed schedule release, which was scheduled to come out during or right before the Monday Night Football game, obviously, where Damar was hurt. But it was leaked a little bit early, so DraftKings did publish their prices right about 6 o'clock Central Time. So we actually did have those numbers a little bit ahead of time. But as I mentioned, DraftKings isn't including that game in their slate. FanDuel is. Fortunately, FanDuel didn't leave any teams out of this slate, which is nice. both sites will have Saturday slates as well. And for those of you that like to read on the Huddle, my weekly Dominator article, normally I have a section in there dedicated to the primetime slate. Because there isn't technically going to be a primetime slate this week with no Monday night football game, I will be breaking down in detail the Saturday-only slate on the same file with the regular Sunday main slate.
Gotcha. and for what it's worth for me, I ignored the players in the games that have that Buffalo's in and Cincinnati's playing in.
I also did that. I think that right now, again, we're recording this Tuesday night. It's 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. The game has been postponed indefinitely. The NFL has stated that they're not going to play the game this week.
Yep.
They have not made any announcement as to when or if the game will be played or completed, or if that's going to alter any of the other schedules. Obviously, we had to deal with hoops like this a couple of years ago during COVID, when games were shifted around all over the place. Obviously, whereas some games don't have a direct impact on the playoffs and the way the league is going to rank their teams at the end of the season as far as standings go, that game clearly does. So there will be some sort of push to get the game completed or played at some point in the future. Again, we don't know what that is. But for the same reasons you mentioned, I, too, ignored the players from the Cincinnati games and the Buffalo-New England game because, again, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. If all the games might be pushed out a week, if those two games might be pushed out a week or pushed out 4 days or 5 days to the next Thursday, we really don't know yet. But we're going to go along and presume that those games will be played on Sunday, and that the remainder of the Cincinnati-Buffalo game will be made up at some point in the future, obviously prior to the playoffs.
Yeah, that I ignored them because I just didn't want to think about the psyche of those guys and saying that you should pay up or stay away from one of them. So that's why I'm ignoring it. It had nothing to do with when I thought they'd be played or anything like that.
Someone posted something on Twitter a little bit ago that I thought really might happen, is that there may be a push to just cancel this week's slate of games completely and push it forward a week, again, taking a extreme step, something that hasn't happened since 9/11, as far as losing an entire week of a season. But obviously, that's something that's been proposed. Like I said, there's been proposals of playing the games. But again, it's not just the players on those teams that were affected by this.
Not at all.
I think that every player on every team has some sort of effect from this. And again, football is a violent sport. I played it all through school, and you can get hurt. There have been many, many serious injuries in the history of football. People have broken their necks. People have broken bones. They've had bones exposed through their flesh on TV. We've seen that, and we don't want to see that again, obviously. But the things have happened over time, and the world has moved on.
Yep.
Now, I'm not saying we have to forget and ignore the situation with Damar, but again, this is easily the best way for people to potentially cope with the injury, is to allow people to go on with their lives and, again, receive the help that they might need, receive the counseling that they might need.
Yeah. 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 Last night I tweeted one thing and one thing only. I have no words, just pray, I think is what I, no words, just pray, something like that. So that's really all you can say. All right, let's jump into DFS.
Yes.
We'll start with the payups at quarterback.
Do you want to do the how many we're going to match on?
Sure. If you want to do that, go ahead. How many?
I think just because of the size of the slate and the amount of teams that are going to be potentially resting players or not playing players at all, I think it's going to be a very low match rate. I think that there's a lot of players, obviously, that are being included in the slate this week because of that. I'm going to put us at 4.
I'll take the under.
I think that's quite likely to happen.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks with who's going to play, how long are they going to play, how did that impact what my decision was to play them. And honestly, you don't have to play this week. You don't want to play DFS, you don't have to play this week. Don't force it, right?
Yep.
You look at it as a way to take a week off and get fresh for the playoffs.
And also, I suppose I should say at this point, as far as my suggestions this week, as far as pay the plays and stay the ways and value plays, I purposely avoided listing players that I do not believe will play.
Yeah, I tried to do
that. Or will play minimal in the stay away. So it's like, I'm actually going to give you some stay aways that are actually players outside of the obvious ones. Like, it's fairly clear that the New York Giants will not be playing their starters. It's right. Fairly clear that the Dallas Cowboys will not be playing their starters. It's fairly clear that Tampa Bay, although they're saying they will play their starters, that their starters are not going to play very much, if at all.
Yeah. I think Dallas actually plays their starters because they're the same time that the Eagles are playing. And if for some reason the Eagles did lose to the Giants backups, then Dallas could win the division. They may not get the number one overall seed, but they would put them into the, you know, winning the NFC East instead of being the number five, I think it would be, wild card. But in any event, I kind of did the same thing. I looked at players that I was like, yeah, there's Saquon Barkley's likely not playing, so I'm not counting him as my stay away type thing. So
exactly.
All right, who are you paying up for at quarterback?
Well, we're talking about that game, and I think the player that we have to pay up for is the guy who will, but for all intents and purposes, needs to come back this week, and that's Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
The Giants, as I said, are going to be resting their starters, including some of their starters on defense, and Philadelphia is going to have to pull out all the stops to hold on to this top seed. They're in danger, seriously, of being the undisputed number one seed and falling all the way to the number five seed in a span of just 2 weeks. That's not good. Now, you can't say that Gardner Minshew's been the problem. I mean, obviously, he had a couple of bad throws last week. But if Philadelphia needs to win the game, and if Hurts thinks he can play, and it sounds like all signs are pointing to him wanting to play, he is going to play. And again, much like Justin Fields the last couple of weeks, I haven't been scared about the fact that Fields was playing with a sore shoulder, because Fields is not going to kill you with his passing, and Hurts is better than Fields at passing. Yep. But it's the same thing. Hurts is not going to kill you with his passing. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be very, very useful on the ground. I think he's going to run the ball a lot. He has three total TDs in his last three games that he's played. One of those games actually was against the Giants, so I think that three TDs is kind of that right mark for Hurts, again, assuming he plays.
Yeah, I first wrote down Hurts, then I wrote down Kirk, and then I crossed out Kirk and went back to Hurts, just because I think he has the most to play for this weekend, and I think he's also going to be on a mission to prove that, you know, the Eagles are in good shape, even if it is against second stringers.
Again, I can give some insight from up here in the Midwest regarding Kirk. Very, very high likelihood that none of the Vikings starters play more than a couple of series in this game, if at all. With the two major injuries to their offensive line, they don't want to risk any additional injuries there. They don't want to risk an injury to Kirk, and they certainly don't want to risk an injury to Dalvin Cook. I expect that they will both play minimal, if at all. Justin Jefferson's going to want to be on the field because of his potential records, but I don't think that's going to happen either. They're going to be discretion is the better part of valor. And realistically, Minnesota cannot move much in their standings. They're either going to get the number two seed or the number three seed. Personally, right now, I would rather them have the number three seed and host the New York Giants. So I don't see them playing Cousins, Cook, Jefferson, or Thielen very much. KJ Osborne might play some. TJ Hockenson probably won't play much, if at all. Team will be getting back Irv Smith this week from IR, so you might see a little bit more of him. You probably see more of last year's rookie running back Kenny Anwangu and this year's rookie Huntley at running back for them. And wide receiver, will probably see more of the backups there too. Jalen Reagor and Jalen Naylor we'll probably see predominant snaps there at the wide receiver position for Minnesota.
Gotcha. They do have an outside chance at a number one seed, though, right?
They do not.
They don't.
If they would have won this week, okay. They would have.
Gotcha. Okay, so that's what they screwed themselves with that. That's why. Okay. Right. Number one seed comes down to basically it's the Eagles or, I believe, San Fran, right? That's the only two outcomes possibly. Right. Okay. Who are you staying away from?
I skipped all the players that I thought had question marks about whether they're going to play or not. There's talk that Justin Fields might not play this game. It just began. It's going to be outside. The weather's going to probably be yucky. They have nothing really to play for. So I don't think he's going to play. If he does play, I don't think he's going to play a full game. I thought about going with Joe Burrow, but again, I decided to stick away from the Cincinnati and the Buffalo situations because, again, we don't really know what's going to happen there. We don't know if Lamar Jackson's going to play for Baltimore against Cincinnati in that game either.
Yep.
So I settled on Justin Herbert at Denver. Denver's defense obviously is not the same defense that they were earlier this season, but they're still an above-average defense, but especially against the pass. As for Herbert, 6 of his last 9 games, he's thrown for 0 or 1 passing touchdown. That's not a good trend. Again, it's the Denver defense. They held him out of the end zone earlier this year in their meeting, so he's on my bench.
We actually have a match. I did the same thing as you. I kept going down the list, down the list, down the list, and there's a chance maybe Herbert doesn't play a full game either. But yeah, I thought that he had the worst matchup of the guys that has a chance to play at least half a game or more.
Yes.
What about value play?
This one we might actually match on.
Might.
Again, I was looking at matchups and who I figured would play a lot and who might not play, and I settled on Brock Purdy versus Arizona. Now, Arizona is really playing out the string at this point. San Francisco obviously needs this game to have a shot at the one seed. The nice thing about this is they're playing at the same time, so they won't have a reason to know whether or not they should bench their players. So obviously Purdy will be in there, as will Christian McCaffrey, as will Brandon Ayuk, as will all the other starters for San Francisco throughout the entire game, unless, again, something obviously happens where Philadelphia jumps out to an early huge lead, in which case then San Francisco might pull some of their players. But, again, this is Arizona. Can you imagine what's going to happen with George Kittle facing this defense?
Yeah, I can. We don't have a match. I actually went a little bit lower because I don't know that they're going to need to play him a whole game, even if the Eagles don't get out to a big lead. I don't think Arizona's going to put much up of a fight up. I went with a guy who I think's going to be – he'll need to do a little better than he did last week. I think they're going to be trying to put a little more points on the point board, and that's where I just think it's going to be a higher-scoring game. I went with Mike White.
I like the Mike White play. Miami's secondary is definitely compromised. I don't know if either of these two teams really is playing for much, though, this week. Miami obviously needs multiple miracles to occur, too.
Yeah, but I think Mike White's playing for something. Right? I mean,
that is a good point.
It's going to be the last tape he gives the Jets and other teams of himself. So, yeah, I think that he's got something to play for. So I like that. I do think that, being on the road, I don't think it's going to be a severely low-scoring game. It may not be a high-scoring game, but I like it to be a little higher scoring than the San Francisco game may be. Arizona could be lucky to put 10 points on the board, So I just thought that there was better upside with Mike White, so that's why I went with him.
So you're not going to start David Blau against San Francisco?
Nah, not that reason. All right, let's go to running back. I guarantee we're going to match at the number one pay up.
Okay, well, tell everyone who you're going to pick.
We're going to pay up for Christian McCaffrey is what I'm guessing.
Yes. Christian McCaffrey is really expensive again. He finally re-cracked the five-figure mark there at 10,000 on FanDuel. Been a while. I remember a few weeks ago when Christian McCaffrey was down like 8,300 on both sides. But Arizona has struggled against pass-catching backs all season. This week they're facing arguably the best pass-catching back in the history of football. In their earlier meeting, McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell combined for 165 total yards. There's some like whispers on the waiver wire that Elijah Mitchell might come back for this game. I doubt it. If he doesn't come back, that means that all of those yards are going to go to McCaffrey.
Yeah. And this is this is the game where they, like you said, unless the Eagles get out to a really huge lead and they can see that early on, they need to play because there's a chance that the one seed's in play for them. So he's like the safest play on top of having a great matchup. And in hindsight, we've got three matches, so I should have probably took the over. But so for what it's worth, my stay away was almost my pay up, which would have been completely contrarian. And I don't know, we might match at this. I wound up landing on a guy that they don't really have anything to play for, so I know he's playing. I don't think that anybody's going to rest him, but I'm staying away from Nick Chubb.
And we have a match. Only three of the last eight teams to face Pittsburgh have had a running back reach double-digit PPR points against them. Pittsburgh's defense has actually sneakily been getting better and better against the run all season. And Chubb, for his behalf, he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 12.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to be shocked. We were at the game on Sunday in Washington. Chubb looked good when he ran the ball. He didn't get the ball that much. And we saw like 14 carries. I'm not going to be shocked if he winds up having 22 carries for 160 yards and two touchdowns for some reason. But the numbers and everything doesn't say that that's what you should play. So you have to stay away from him.
Yeah, again, he's the fourth highest priced guy on DraftKings and the sixth highest priced guy on FanDuel this week. And again, when you look at the guys above him, you've got McCaffrey, who we've obviously said we like despite the price.
Yep.
Saquon, who's probably not going to play.
Yep.
And Austin Eckler, who's actually a decent play, but he's not a horrible play. The matchup isn't horrible. Tony Pollard, who may or may not play, and Dalvin Cook, who I said probably not going to play if at all this week.
Yeah. I almost went all the way down to, honestly, I almost went all the way down to James Conner as a stay away.
I totally agree. I mean, James Conner, and there's a good chance he won't play either because of the injury he suffered last week.
Right. So it was tough. So maybe in hindsight, because of the lack of options, I should have thought that we would hit the over. But anyway, we've got a push already. Who's your value play this week?
I'm going to go with Zach Moss versus Houston.
Oh, man, we're killing it.
You start your running backs versus Houston. It's just a given. Even just playing half of a football of last week before being pulled because the game was out of hand, Travis Etienne blew up. So everyone that was asking, should I play Travis Etienne last week? I told you guys all to play Travis Etienne last week. Travis Etienne still paid off. He only played half a game. This is Houston. As for Moss, he's got 2-1 touch advantage over the combination of Deion Jackson and Jordan Wilkins over the last 2 weeks. So it's clear that he is the favored option in that backfield right now. I'm surprised Deion Jackson saw the field last week after getting basically reamed by the coach the week prior. So Moss is your guy. It's Houston. It's cheap. It's easy money.
Yeah, we match. I don't know the last time we've ever matched 3-for-3 at running back, honestly. Let's take a stab at wide receiver. What are you doing at wide receiver? Who are you paying up for?
Well, I already said I'm paying up for Jalen Hurts. So. Yeah, yep. I'm going to go ahead and stack him with his top receiver, and that's A.J. Brown versus the Giants. I think both Brown and Devonta Smith are going to score this week. They both scored in the previous meeting against the Giants. But, again, the Giants will be resting players on both sides of the ball, which should give them every opportunity to throw the ball at will against them. And I like Brown. Again, the Giants' secondary isn't that bad, but – again, they're not going to be facing probably the number one and number two cornerbacks. They're going to be facing guys down there. There are already some injuries in their defensive backfield.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see reserves behind the players who are already in.
Yeah, we have another match. Really, that was the easy out-of-the-park stack it and just – even if you weren't going to pay up for Hurts, like A.J. Brown, when you look at everything that's there, in the top 10 seems to be the easy call, quite honestly.
Yeah, again, looking at the rest of the top 10, you've got Jefferson, who, as I said, will probably want to be on the field, but probably won't be allowed to be. You got Chase, you've got Hill, you've got Lamb. Again, we're staying away from
Diggs.
Chase and Lamb, we're staying away from Diggs because of the game. The Amon-Ra St. Brown's got a decent matchup against Green Bay, although Green Bay's Jair Alexander just shut down Justin Jefferson.
Right.
So there's a chance he doesn't perform. And again, because of the way the schedule makers set this up, there's a chance that Detroit is actually not playing for anything that game either. So
yeah, that's a whole nother discussion. And then you got the Andre Hopkins and his knee issue, and then T. Higgins again. Yep. So now you're down to Devontae Smith and Mike Evans, and he may not play. So yeah, I think in hindsight, there really weren't too many options for us to say we were going to pay up for.
So we're probably going to match then on the person we're staying away from, which is
probably.
I'm staying away from Tyreek.
Yeah, we're matching. There we go.
Oh, over their last seven games, the Jets have allowed opposing wide receiver ones to post an average of four catches for 44 yards. And that's not all Sauce Gardner. They've actually done this by having multiple cornerbacks cover the number one receivers. They've done bracket coverage on guys. Only one wide receiver one has scored a touchdown against the Jets in the last seven games. And there's a very good chance that Skylar Thompson is going to be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins this week. He actually did target Tyreek Hill a lot in one of the two games that they played earlier this year where he played significant minutes. But it's not going to be enough to overcome the price tag and the matchup.
Okay. No, we have a match. Same thing. Just Sauce Gardner alone is enough of a reason, right? And then you add the other stuff, and then what do they and don't they have to play for this week? So he'll probably have six catches for 135 yards and two touchdowns, but who knows? Okay, who is your value play?
If you want a sneaky item on Hill here, I actually kind of prefer him to have like seven catches for like 50 yards and have like an end around for like 30 yards on a touchdown.
There you go. It's always possible with him.
Yes.
All right. What about the value play? Who are we going down to for value play?
I chose two players, and their prices are very, very similar. One is $3,600 and $5,000. The other is $3,500 and $4,900. Those being Scotty Miller and Breshad Perriman, both of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Atlanta. Miller had seven targets versus Atlanta earlier this year, and well, Breshad Perriman hasn't done much this season. He's been effective when he's been given a full complement of snaps in the past. Even thinking back a couple of seasons ago when he was technically the wide receiver one for the New York Jets. These two will be Blaine Gabbert's top options this week versus a bad Atlanta pass defense after Brady sits down. That is, if Brady plays at all this week.
Yeah, so we're not going to match. I wrote two names down myself, but I crossed one off. The first one I wrote down, for what it's worth, was Garrett Wilson. Stack him with, you know, Mike White. But I went to the same game that you're in, and in anticipating that Tampa's not going to be playing a lot of their starters, and they've had some issues in the secondary, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to default to Drake London, and I believe we see him put up a big game and actually score this week.
Well, actually, I don't mind that play at all. Drake London's been used heavily over the well. He wasn't used as much this past week, but the prior three weeks, he had seen quite a few targets there.
Yep.
Ever since they installed Desmond Ridder as their quarterback, so there's obviously a burgeoning connection between the two of them. I definitely like that play.
So yours is cheaper, that's for sure.
Good right. Game stack.
Yeah.
Find a way to fit a couple of them in there.
There you go.
If you're playing showdown contest there. There's some names from both sides.
Yep, there you go. All right, tight end. Paying up for, I'm guessing, George Kittle.
That's just, it's a given. Kittle has five TDs over his last three games. In the earlier game, he posted four catches, 86 yards, and two touchdowns against Arizona. That was back in week 11. And Arizona's been basically the whipping boy for tight ends all season. Easy pay up here. And you're not really even paying up that much. I mean, $6,000 and $7,600. That's a good 1,000 or 2,000 less than you're normally paying for Travis Kelce at the top spot.
Yep. The only thing I didn't like was the salary, and I almost avoided him just because of that. But yeah, he's the best play on the board, the safest play on the board.
And obviously, Brock Purdy likes him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting targets and he's getting production. It doesn't hurt that Debo Samuel's out, I'm sure. But yeah, so stay away was a little more difficult.
It was really difficult because, again, we've got a lot of games where there's going to be issues. T.J. Hockenson, like I said, probably is not going to play, if at all. Dalton Schultz, same thing, may or may not play.
Yep.
We've got Mark Andrews, Baltimore's Cincinnati game, so I kind of ignored him. Taysom Hill
I ignore him
is He's got a decent matchup, but his price is high, and he's only on FanDuel, and he's only $600 less than George Kittle, so you can't really play him.
Right. So who'd you land on as your stay away?
Oh, I had to go down the board a little bit, and I don't even hate the guy I'm staying away from. That's your favorite guy, David Njoku at Pittsburgh.
We've got a match.
And Njoku did well against Pittsburgh earlier this year. I think he had like 7 catches for 60-some yards. But Pittsburgh has generally been very good against the position all season. Njoku hasn't been able to get on the same page as Deshaun Watson lately after starting off really good with him the first 2 games together. He's only got 6 catches over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, and over the last 6 weeks, if I can get my computer here to refresh, I'll be able to tell you. I just don't want to make sure I'm not making a mistake here. Pittsburgh, where are you? Where did you go? So we do match. I picked Njoku. Over the last 6 weeks, they're actually not a bad matchup, which almost made me say, no, I'm not going to go to him. But when you look at them season to date, they are not a good matchup. Like, look, over the last 6 weeks, tight end positioning, one or two performances can really skew things, right? So I think it is safer to look at it from an overall season standpoint. And I don't want to tell you again, I only have 1 meg internet speed, but it takes forever for stuff to refresh for some stupid reason, right? Doesn't make sense. But I believe that they are. I'll tell you now. Here we got it. Finally, Pittsburgh is. Nope, can't get it. Sorry. They're not good. It's not a good matchup. We match. That's all there is to it. How's that?
Yeah, I want to say they're 8th overall this season against position, but I'm not totally sure on that.
Yeah, they definitely weren't good. I remember that, and unfortunately, I can't get it to come up, so it is what it is. Value play was a little more difficult, maybe. I'll be shocked if we match here, but I think there's an outside chance that we might.
I don't think we will, although I did mention my value play earlier in conversation.
Then we're not matching.
I'm going to make my value play Irv Smith at Chicago. This will be his first game played in nearly 3 months. But Minnesota, as I said, will likely rest its starters. Irv Smith returning from the IR. That leaves him, Johnny Munt, and Ben Ellison as the tight ends for the Minnesota Vikings this week. Ben Ellison and Johnny Munt are both better blockers than they are pass receivers. And obviously, Irv Smith, before all of his injuries, was a much better route runner and pass catcher. So he's the one that's going to be likely running more routes on the inside. It also should be noted that back when Nick Mullins first came up with the Niners, he really liked to target his tight ends, guys like Ross Dwolly and the aforementioned George Kittle. So I think that Mullins is going to look early and often to Irv Smith in this game.
Okay. Not a match. I definitely don't dislike it, so I'm not going to knock that, that's for sure. I settled on Tyler Conklin. He's facing a Miami team.
Oh, yeah.
He's coming off a good week, right? but he's coming. He's going to face a Miami team that, believe it or not, over the last 6 weeks, Miami's 6th in points allowed to the tight end position.
No, I actually looked at Conklin, too. I actually looked at C.J. Uzoma, too, in that same game.
Yeah.
It's scary. Tyler Conklin is the 15th highest-priced player on the board here. I looked at him and thought to myself, that's still paying too much for
right.
In the tight end wasteland we've had to deal with all season, I didn't want to make Tyler Conklin my value play because I thought $3,600 and $5,100 was too much.
Yeah, I wanted to look at Freiermuth. Didn't like that matchup. Wanted to look at why is his name escaping me? Indianapolis.
Jelani Woods.
Jelani Woods. Just didn't feel good about it, unfortunately. Wanted to look at Noah Font. You know what I mean? Like, just none of them felt good. None of them.
Yeah, actually, one of the guys I kind of looked at a little bit closer to was Big O. Albert O down in Denver against the Chargers. Had a decent game last week. And now I look a little closer. He caught the touchdown, but all 3 of Denver's tight ends last week did good against the Chiefs, so that may have been more a situational thing than anything. I mean, Trey McBride had a good game. Again, they're facing San Francisco, though, so not great. Donald Parham Jr. might be a sneaky play. He actually has outplayed Gerald Everett over the last couple of games since his return from injury. got to consider is Colby Parkinson's actually been playing very, very well in that Seattle offense the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Another guy, there's some names to look at really cheap on the board.
Another guy I looked at was Peyton Hendershot, right? But
Peyton Hendershot and Jake Ferguson are both going to probably play most of the downs for.
Yep. So, but at 2,500 and 4,600, right? I look at them and I'm like, okay, but Conklin's $1,100 more. So you're talking about 3 points and then $5,100 more. It's just, I felt like it's a safer play than trying to roll the dice on a guy that he should get most of the snaps and he should be able to perform. You know what I mean? Just, you already know that Conklin's got that rapport with the starter or the backup that's the starter or whatever you want to call it. So yeah. Well, we wound up matching on 9 out of 12.
For a week when I didn't think we'd have hardly any matches, that's impressive.
Yeah. I guess I just should have looked at it differently, but I didn't. Anyway, that's what it is.
And if anyone needs another value play to play at tight end, say you've got George Kittle as your tight end and you want to do a double tight end lineup, how about Dallas Goedert?
Yeah, Goddard is a possible.
He's not cheap at all, but again, he's going to play and they're facing the Giants.
Yep. And I think Philly better put a lot of points on the board. They need a dominant win, especially since it's going to be against backups. You know what I mean?
Now, you're a Philadelphia fan.
Yes.
What happens if Hurts plays and is ineffectual, either because of the injury or because of the rust or whatever, and they lose? Is he starting in the playoffs or do they go back to Minshew?
No, he's absolutely starting. If he's healthy enough, he's back. Doesn't matter what happens. Does not matter. Hey, you know what we didn't talk about, and I understand why we didn't, but I didn't make the semis or the finals, I should say, for Scott Fishbowl. Neither did you.
Nope, we both missed it.
It's a good thing I missed it. I scored like 80-some points. Mm-hmm. Would have been my worst week of the entire season. And, of course, not having Hurts didn't help that any, so.
I actually had a pretty good week. I think I finished with like 150 points.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you'd have had a pretty decent week then. I don't know.
But I can say that going into last night's game, obviously, again, I don't think Scott has made an announcement yet about what's going to happen with the rulings on that. But Minnesota local and Fanball employee, former coworker of mine there, Trevor Jones, was sitting in second. I think he was far enough behind the first place team that probably wasn't going to matter, but a little shout out to Trev over there at Fanball. Good job, sir.
There you go. And I guess we'll wrap it up with that. I hope that you overall had yourself a nice holiday season, good New Year's and all that kind of stuff. Be sure to check out Harley on Twitter at Nuclear Harley. You can check me out at Steve Gallo NFL. And of course, if you're not a member, you can be a member, and it's a calendar. It's from date of purchase. It's not a calendar year. So it's not like you'll be wasting your membership by signing up now at thehuddle.com. And as always, like we like to say, before I say it, keep DeMar Hamlin in your prayers if you're praying, and if not, keep him in your thoughts. Let's just hope that it winds up with a good outcome. And until next week, or until our next show, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.